So Don is here, so I think we're set to roll. Debbie, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Vern's here. I don't see, is the mayor here?
No, he is not. Did you want to wait for the mayor, or?
No, let's get rolling.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. Did you hear that he's coming or not, or anybody had any contact with him?
I did not hear that he was or was not coming.
Car's on, unless she's stepped away, but says she's on the meeting.
Okay, well, in that case, let's begin, and hopefully he'll come if he's coming.
Okay.
The mayor will be joining shortly, guys.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to the Streets and Sidewalks meeting for today, which happens to be June, looking at his calendar.
June 15th, my son's birthday.
June 15th, then you would definitely know my birthday's not for another 10 days.
Oh.
So welcome everyone. Hopefully this will be one of our last impersonal, I don't mean impersonal, but not in-person meetings. So looking forward to being able to meet person to person and not just face to face on the computer. So welcome everyone. I'd like to get rolling on the agenda immediately with the service director. So Leon, please take it away.
You gotta call the roll, Debbie.
I was gonna just say
thank
that.
You. Thanks, Tom.
Let's do a roll call. Paverka.
Here.
Grindel.
Here.
Narduzzi.
Here.
Now, Leon.
Okay. Thank you, Don. So, Don has just shared his screen, which has my report on there. So we have our spring update is that all the snow and ice equipment has been stored and PM'd for the summer. Currently, we have a capacity of 2,000 additional tons for salt. We used roughly this past season 4,800 tons of salt.
How does that come here, Leon? Is that a normal winter? Is it less? Or?
Well, we've been trending down over the last few years. This one was a little bit more than normal. Not a lot more, but just slightly above what we normally do. We're usually trying to get to our minimum, which is 4,000 tons. But we're about 2,000 tons away from what we allot every year, or 200 tons. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, 200 tons. 4,000 is our minimum. So, but the consortium has went out to bid again this year, and they recommend Compass Minerals for salt this year at $45.97 per ton. The current cargo contract for this current year is $63.41 per ton, and then Cargill's bid was $62.28 per ton. So the consortium is recommending that we go with this Compass Minerals.
No. Is that the first time they bid?
So this is the first time they bid. They did some work last year with the Cuyahoga County, so they're familiar with the area. They have a stockpile down on Lakeside of 100,000 tons.
Wow.
So our needs are well below that. So all of the members within the consortium are within 12 miles of their facility. So I think. We're going to give them a go. It's a pretty considerable cost savings, price reduction. So
yeah,
some of the other cities have in the past used Compass Minerals, so they had no issues with them. I have no experience with them, but the consortium as a whole, the Brentsville consortium that we're a part of, is recommending them moving forward.
In the past, when they had that great salt shortage, both Cargill and the other supplier both had shortfalls then. What was this Compass company in existence then?
Yeah, you know what? I really don't know that their history too much. All I know is that we've had issues in the past with getting salt. We've always tried to be with cargo. I mean, I just say we've had significant issues. We've had some minor issues getting salt from cargo, but they've been able to accommodate us for the most part. I think we're fortunate that we have capacity here, so we can store quite a bit of salt over here without having to go get into a point where we're not where we're running out of salt. So but I think they serviced the Cuyahoga County this past season, and some communities within Cuyahoga County this past season, and we've had no, I guess the consortium has had no negative response from anybody.
George Kleep has his bike clapping right now.
Yeah, we finally got rid of cargo.
Well, yeah. not formally yet, but.
No, not yet, yeah.
The salt dome that we have, Leon, does that have a floor in it?
No, it does not have a floor. We're not a concrete or an asphalt floor. It's just a gravel floor.
Okay, well, I'm just curious. It probably is not a problem, but I'm just wondering about the salt and its effect on the ground. So, but I mean, you shouldn't have a great quantity of water getting in there anyway to create an issue. Okay.
Now we discussed this in our last meeting. We do have a tear in our salt dome. It's not to the point where a lot of water is, you know, causing a lot of issues, but the person coordinator and myself, we discussed with two vendors. The company that built our salt dome is no longer in business, so we've had to look at two other vendors to repair this. So we did get some estimates, and you know, I can share those with you. I don't have those in front of me for this meeting, but I can share those with you moving forward. Additionally, just getting back to my report, landscape areas have been mulched and weeds removed. All hanging baskets, flags, Hometown Hero banners have been installed as well.
Hey, Leon, quick question, Mr. Chairman. Is there a minimum requirement with Compass?
It's the same as what we had in the past. So we put down our allotment for the season would be 5,000 tons, so our minimum would be 4,000 tons. And then the maximum is, I think, 140% of what our allotment would be.
And is there a penalty if they don't provide?
You know, I'm not 100% sure if there's a penalty.
Well, only because if they're imposing a minimum on us, they're expecting us to take so much material. On the other hand, we oftentimes people forget that if you don't deliver or if you're not available, but when we need something, then at least we should look at if we have to go get it someplace else, they should have to pay the difference to us.
So
this
who's talking?
This law also policy states that the board has to approve disposal baskets.
I'm getting some
back
here. Yeah,
somebody else's voice.
Difference from what was
if everybody mutes, then we'll know who it is. Or
hello.
Okay, we're good.
So I think in the conversations that we've had, we've never had arms trucking. They actually did the supply for cargo as well. They do the trucking for cargo as well, and they did the trucking for Compass Minerals as well last year. And you know, they've never had any issues last year. So I think that was one of the big things is would we still be able to get the service?
That's great.
You know, we're having our meeting with the rep in September. So I think we'll get a little bit more clarification on some of this, some of these questions. And I can specifically ask that one. Okay. So we've moved that to a catch basin cleaning. So we've continued catch basin cleaning. We've done so far this year, Willow Poplar, Chestnut, and West Ash. The goal is to get into the Pebble Creek neighborhood and work on the Pebble Creek neighborhood in the next upcoming weeks. And then, you know, once we get through this rubbish route this year, then we're going to start all over again. So we'll be 100% through the city, hopefully by the end of the summer. That's the goal. crack sealing. We're going to crack seal Montello, Delbrook, Valley Vista, Brookside, Twin Creeks Court, Patriots Way, Liberty Way, Summit Park, Green Square, Ben Franklin Way, Oak Street Boulevard, Rockside Woods, North Boulevard, and West Creek Road. We had a little bit of a larger list earlier this at the last meeting. We subtracted a few streets. Those streets are going to mass succeed a little bit sooner than we had thought. And we're just not geared up right now to go ahead and get those streets cracked sealed. So I think the contractor who's doing the mass seal has already cracked sealed some of those streets.
Has crack sealing started yet, Leon, or that's going to start here?
No, it's going to start here soon. Our goal is to get it within the next week or two, get the crack sealing going, because now that landscaping is all kind of being completed, or the last bit of the landscaping, we'll be able to pull some crews and get there. Now we're getting some of our summertime help in as well, so we'll be able to hopefully get this thing up and running in the next week or so.
I see. And then when the crack sealing is done, is that when you go to your sidewalk concrete work?
Yes. Yeah. So the goal is to get the crack sealing done between, you know, before the end of July, and then get into sidewalk repair work beginning of August.
It's the same group, the same crew, isn't it, that usually does work?
A lot of times it is, yeah, a lot of the same guy. So we try to do as much as we can, as quickly as we can, to try to concentrate our efforts on one, one project at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So in the sidewalk repairs, we're looking at Brexville Road north of Sealard. Last year we did Brexville Road all south of Sealard. We have to do an area on Tulip Trail. We're going to do Hillside west of 21, and we're going to try to do Springview and Grandview. I know there's a couple of areas that we still got to get to in Wood and Sunset and Elmwood area. I think there's a couple of houses that we still have marked that we're going to try to get those as well this year. And then we did some little bit of asphalt patching earlier, some strip patching. We did one large strip patch on Buskirk. And we did that prior to the mastic seal. I think that's in a program for the mastic seal this year is Buskirk and Evergreen. So we did a nice patch over there on Buskirk as well. And then, we don't know what's going to happen with the T-Belt Field Road this year. I know we talk about doing some work over there through the engineering department or the asphalt program. But the T-Ball Field Road needs some work, so if we can't get anything done with that this year, then we might jump on it and at least do at least some strip bashing to kind of make it a little bit more presentable for the next year or so.
Very good. Anybody else have any questions for the service director?
No.
Okay, then we'll move on. Don.
Thank you, Leon.
Thanks, Leon.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Hello, everyone.
Well, Don.
Hi, Don.
We'll march through the agenda here. First item is the ESHAF for Meyer project update. Roniak Paving put the surface course down a few weeks back. And at that time, we had mentioned that we had some funding available from the Roniak PO from 2019 and 20, and took the opportunity to continue the work on Fermeyer to clean it up and make for a more global project. And I think it turned out very well. Here's some photos, some action, paving work in action. We did spend some time and effort to clean up areas under the bridge, 77 overpass, that were used routinely by trucks to park. So was constant a mess that was made, and it's been tremendously cleaned up with the project. Here's another view. Another area was the area over there by the Granger Road overpass. We cemented and concrete curbed that area and improved the drainage, so turned out really nice. Reinstalled a curb. There was a curb that was there that was buried and in terrible condition on Fermeyer coming out of the West Creek Connector Road. So that was reinstated. And we did gain a foot or so of width there. The asphalt was buried over with some grass as well. So it turned out very nice. And then, of course, here's some more photos of Schaff. Schaff also turned out very nicely. We still need to do some striping and I believe put some Reclamite down. That's a surface treatment, and that is being scheduled. One thing that came up as a result of this project, somebody had raised a question about the potential for some pedestrian facilities. And because the pavement is so wide and there is a heavy use of that road by pedestrians. So we looked at, had a consultant kind of look at it and see what our options were, and they did come up with some scenarios of that could fit. And these exhibits kind of demonstrate two different options, one with a 6-foot lane striped, and then a Sharrow on the southbound side. There's a total of 36 feet of pavement from curb to curb, so it's extremely wide. The second option was just put a lane on either side and have 12-foot lanes on either side, symmetrical. We did inquire as to a third option, to put all 8 or 10 feet on one side of the road, which would necessitate having to shift the center line over. And we've yet to get any report back on that scenario, but just wanted to share these concepts with you. We do need to tell our strike how to finish the road.
Now, how much did I notice we had, looking at our 5-year plan, we had $263,000 roughly for Schaff Road to finish that up. Is that what we basically used, or?
Yeah, Vice Mayor, it was split up between the concrete program for the concrete curb and catch basin repair, drive aprons, and then we also had Roniak had some funding in it for the paving. So I don't know what in total. I do believe we are still on budget. I mean, we've been tracking throughout, and it's some of the Firmmeier work, you know, because that was supplemental. We did need to spread some of those costs out utilizing the road maintenance contracts, and but all the asphalt paving was handled in the Ronya contract.
I see, because we had money set aside for Firmmeier too, $100,000, I believe, as well as the $262,000 for East Schaff. And then I noticed there's some work farther down on our 5-year plan for Firmmeier, which deals with the water mains, I believe.
Right, and I think the thought was that when old Braxville Road was performed, that is terrible water main on Old Brecksville, and there, that's when the larger, more comprehensive project would take place. And knowing that that's probably a little bit further down the road because of some potential development opportunities there in Old Brecksville, that might be pushed further than sooner. So that's why it was important to get Firmmeier cleaned up in the interim.
Hey, Don.
Yes, Mayor.
Chairman, there's a... Hey, could you, Leon, there's two or three low spots on Old Brecksville Road going southbound lane, one in northbound, two southbound, I think. Can you sometime this summer get those smoothed out, and then we'll have a nice ride up? And at the top of the hill, there's a water shutoff that's eroded as you turn on to New Brecksville Road. Could you make sure we patch that up correctly? Thanks, Leon. And then also, I think we stripe going up the hill, and just Cheryl, the going down the hill, because you're going with traffic, and whereas up the hill you're a lot slower.
Okay.
That's just my suggestion.
Okay, we can do that.
I like both of those options, and even the potential for the other one. So thanks, Don, for following up on that question.
Okay. That's all I've really had for that item. Tuck this item in here just to kind of give an update. I know we recently adopted a change order for the concrete contract, the original $400,000 contract change order, and that's citywide work. That was extended from 2020 into 21. I bring this up because, you know, when we approved that Environmental Design Group's change order for additional inspection services. I kind of lost sight of the fact that ACM has been performing our inspections on a lot of our maintenance contracts, and with the increased funding and the extensive amount of work between CATS, Geotech, and our paving contractors, both ongoing and in the future, with Sugar and Valley Paving coming up with our asphalt program, we're going to definitely need a supplement to the $50,000 inspection fund or contract. So I just put that out there just for everybody's to be thinking about it. I did justify the additional $100,000 with some work on in Independence Estates, I'm sorry, in the Dalebrook Estates subdivision. My inspector kind of measured up some footages. This is the unit price for the curb and gutter, and just between the two streets, we're pushing $70,000. And what's not in here are typical additional work that's needed with drive apron impacts, catch basin repairs, so we could easily be to the 100. And doesn't include Montello. And I don't know if Montello was already been taken care of, or we just I just neglected to get a footage from Montello. I'll have to revisit that, but just wanted to show you some of the where the numbers came from relative to the change order request.
So, Don, just for these guys that, you know, sit in their cars all day, and I see like Dalebrook was $26,600. That project lasted what, 6 weeks, 7 weeks?
Councilman Narduzzi, this is the additional. Yeah, I'm not sure what's been done to date. But this is the additional of work that we'd like to do. But to your point, there's a dollar value of the work that's been performed to date out there. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah, I like to see that number because, I mean, if you're looking at a 6 or 7 week period, they were there, and this guy sits in his car 80% of the time, you could hire somebody full time to take care of many projects for the cost that we're paying for 1 7- or 8 week project. I mean, it's, I don't know.
This
would be something to look into.
Well, we do have ACM does do all of our inspections, so they are, if one inspector can't handle the work, they do have a second that's been handling some of the work. So between the two, this Furmeyer shaft project, between CATS doing the miscellaneous concrete, and Geotech with some creek maintenance work that ACM's been handling. So they do oftentimes bounce between projects, between work locations. We try to make best use of their time looking at the work.
Continue, Don.
Okay. Upper Brookside Road, phase two, just a quick update on that. This was the southerlymost piece. We had intended it to be 120 days beginning in March. We're still tracking towards through the end of June, but we did have some extra work and some rain delays, so we did do need some additional time. And probably the new completion date will probably be early to mid-July. I do have that on another slide. Here's just a foot of one photo when the easterly lane prepped for concrete. Right now that project is about 75% complete on a contract time basis, and the job's doing pretty well financially. This seems a little low in return and relative to the time, only because of the payment was through the end of May is the figures I'm using to come up with the 60%. So right now aprons are being performed side of the road, and soon sidewalks will be worked on. And there's a good amount of grading work that needs to take place as well. And so we do anticipate substantial completion on July, early in July. And this is just a reminder of the EDG contract modification was for this continued work. If there's no questions, I'll move on. Hillside Road, sidewalk improvements east. That project is also pretty well substantially complete, but for some restoration. That was the section from generally Humoga to Twin Creeks, almost $645,000 job. We did extend, if you recall, we did some additional drainage work east of Twin Creeks to try to put that section of roadway in a better position if indeed sidewalks are entertained to be extended in that stretch. So this is a notice that went out late in May, and they took care of that work in just about a week's worth of time, and it was a time when the bridge was still closed. It was a nice time to be out there from a safety standpoint and to minimize impacts to traffic. So they did get that completed. Here's some photos of the sidewalk. It's shaping up very nicely. And now that school is out, we're not going to be impacting, and shouldn't be any problems there with the school. Now here again, we're about 100% complete on the contract time, substantially complete, but for restoration, topsoil spreading, and there were some trees to be planted on this project. We'll probably defer that to the fall. It's getting the hot period, and don't think it's a good idea.
When you're mentioning the restoration, if other people aren't aware, they also did some restoration on the section of Brookside between Lake Charles and Eastview, where there was a whole bunch of settling of the material there. So that was got some more topsoil and then was replanted.
Oh, on the phase one project?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and there is one home up there that ended up needing to be poured a couple of times. The sidewalk and the apron and part of the driveway. I had a resident inquiring about that situation. So a few houses down from the curb, just east, I guess north and east of Lake Charles.
Yeah, it was a combination of a few different things at a few different times. So initially, as we poured, had set the elevations. They weren't exactly per the typical section per plan, but one other consideration was some low profile vehicles that the owners had, particularly at that particular residence, that we tried to accommodate. So when we did replace it, we tried to modify some things there with elevation so that minimize the grade breaks to allow for the vehicle to easily come in and out of the driveway. And then during that work, ironically, some of the concrete, they had some issues with the concrete, the performance, durability of it. It started to spall, had some problems with it just within several months of it being poured. So I do believe that was rectified and removed and replaced again at the contractor's expense. So it's been quite a bit of work there, the property you're referring to.
Right, so we're basically done there now?
I believe so. I've been a little bit out of touch with that particular driveway. It does look like it was taken care of, but I have to circle back and make sure.
Okay, we're done, Don.
Pardon me?
As far as I'm concerned, I receive the same concerns. And, as far as I'm concerned, this balding and everything, we're done. The city's responsibility, as far as I'm concerned, is done.
Okay.
Very good, very good. I'll have the conversation with a couple of people that were inquiring about that. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. This is for the Hillside Sidewalk Improvements West Project. As you know, we awarded the contract last week. The numbers were extremely tight. Only $7,000 separated the low bidder from the second low bidder, and not much of a range between the low and the high. So these were all reputable contractors, so we felt very comfortable. The estimate was 1.2, and we did very well. We feel that it was a good set of plans. Everyone was looking at the same thing, bidding the same work. So the job is a little bit more involved than the Easterly project because we are doing some pavement widening and putting a 6-inch type 6, it's a barrier style curb. So this is a typical section showing some of the work. So the elevations are going to be a little bit more modified than what you saw down by the primary school. And we are building up, so the grades, there's some challenges there with the topography. In many instances, the ground falls away and we have to build up a sidewalk. So there's a need to do some grading work behind the outside the right of way. So there's some impacts, some participation, permission that we received from a lot of the property owners. There's also some severe topography in certain locations where the grades are very steep right to the edge of the road. We have to flatten everything out to provide room for a sidewalk, and it's going to require and necessitate a pretty good sized retaining wall. And again, to be performed outside of the right of way. And I tried to represent that in a couple few slides here. Here's a plan view of the wall, and we do anticipate it to be a ready rock wall similar to the one that's by AAA. It's going to have a decorative finish and coloring, and again, it's outside right of way, and we're in the process of securing easements, permanent highway easements, as well as some temporary grading easements. Further down, there's a stream outlet of the storm sewer system, and right now, the end of the pipe is going to be right underneath our proposed sidewalk, so it's going to require construction of a head wall on the end of the pipe, and also that needs to be outside the right-of-way, so it requires another easement outside the right-of-way. So it's just more involved because the project's more comprehensive, and the cost of the job, you know, represents that. These are just some more detailed sheets showing the retaining wall and cross-section. Maximum height of that wall is about 10.5 feet at its highest point. This is that head wall that I was referring to. Here's a cross-section view. That large 36-inch storm sewer outlets, our sidewalk will be built over top of it. This treatment is similar to across from the fire department, right across Seedlick Drive. There's a little small little parapet wall. And there's a culvert down here conveying the creek from one side of Seedlick to the other. This is just that outlet of a pipe. So outside the right of way, and a good amount of work to get that done. That happens to be on Rich Duda's property. So we're working through that. It's another just a, this wall I mentioned is, impacts two properties. There's a property line that almost bisects the limit of the wall. So two separate property owners are, we need the easement secured from. And I've been coordinating with them. They're aware of the project, and we're working out things out with the right of way. This is just a section view. We're going to have a chain link black vinyl coated wall fence at the top of the wall for protection from the fall. Included some photos of constructed wall that's out at AAA, just to give you an idea of what we hope this project will look like when it's completed. Some different views showing the different step downs, and it should be trying to make it attractive and make it fit in the neighborhood and not be obtrusive area.
We have to fence that too, Don?
Yes, yeah, there'll be a fence on the top. Yep.
So is that project tiffable because of the new development up the street? And that's why we're doing these sidewalks, correct?
Correct, just for safety. Steep grades there, the cars travel at a high rate of speed, and some undulating vertical curves and sight distance issues. It's just mostly driven from a safety standpoint.
Don, what was that award, the winning award bid again for this project?
Yeah, that was
1.169
million.
Nice, and that includes all this, the walls and the fencing and everything?
Correct, the head wall.
I think we had set aside $1 million, I believe, for 2020, so I guess they will have to increase that by $169,000.
Yes.
But it'll look really good, and it'll be safe for our pedestrians.
Yes, very much so. And it's also a 6-foot wide walk versus the traditional 5 feet. And that's consistent with what we constructed out by the primary school. It's a 6 feet wide sidewalk for added safety. This last slide is just to kind of show you about 15, 16 property owners that are impacted by the work, and I am trying to set up meetings to speak with them one-on-one. We did some appraisal for temporary and permanent easements, and there is a need to potentially to make some payments. We have asked for a lot of donations of the easements, especially on the temporary easement variety, because we feel it's a significant upgrade to the streetscape and their property frontages from a safety standpoint, curb appeal standpoint, and a significant investment to the of $1 million. So we have asked everybody for donations, and we're still working through that. But I just want to share with you the list of addresses and residents.
And Mr. Duda was growling a little bit when I was doing his taxes.
Yeah, I mean, try to explain to him it's an unsafe situation, and for uniformity, and it's really going to make for a nice project. There's curbs on either end of the limit, east and west, that we're tying into, so we think it's going to fit nicely and be the right treatment. If there's no other questions, I'll move on.
Yes, please.
Asphalt contract. Just wanted to circle back real quick on the base bid. The base bid was the 1.644, which was the award last week to Sugarman Valley. And in speaking with Finance Director Blaze, he did have funding for a lot of these individual projects that totaled up to the 1.975. So we did very well by packaging up a larger maintenance contract bid, had some good pricing. And I do believe our estimate was upwards of $2 million. So we typically use prior year's contracts to base the estimate. So the 1.6 was very competitive, and we did very well. So there's a good amount of work, and I can go through that. The Rockside Road is the county program was a large chunk of the work. So here's some quick exhibits that were in the bid. Felt it's very easy to share with you. Rexville Road at Selig, we intended to try to clean up and improve that. That pavement is very tired and it's been getting beat up over the 10, 11 years it's been there. So we feel it would be nice to clean that whole area up curb to curb. So that work is designated in the base bid. We have flexibility to move the areas on Rexville. This was just one that we felt important enough to identify.
Don, how far down the road are we before we do a total repavement? Is that another or less?
Brecksville Road, ODOT has, and I still think it's a number of years down. So I feel like it's just, this pavement is just too poor condition, I think, to wait that long. In fact, when we resurfaced this, what we did in 10 or 11, we thought that by now, the larger project would have already been here, but it just continues to get pushed back, and so we feel the need to get in there and do this now.
And Don, what are they going underneath 21 to redo the culvert that's there?
Yeah, that program, ODOT is looking at that. That's still, they're in the feasibility stages of design. I still think they're talking 25. 26, I think. So it's out a number of years.
So we're just doing a grind and overlay here?
Correct. And that culvert, incidentally, it's a very large project. They do believe it's just going to be a internally rehabbed. No open cutting of that would be a terrible situation if they open cut the road to replace conventionally. So they do intend to line the culvert that's there internally to be able to maintain safe traffic.
Hey Dan, the one thing I don't want to do is I don't want to be patchwork and stuff. We need to be more comprehensive or find the right timing and the right to do when we do it right, rather than just patching sections of finished pavement.
And do more something comprehensive, full width or full width.
Yeah, I mean, it's that gas contractor should have ground and over and overlaid that whole curb lane there. So, I mean, I don't want to repeat what we did before. So, Just keep that in mind if you could.
Okay. Yeah, this is the, so Mayor referenced the Dominion did some work over here, and there's concrete that was poured right up to the surface. So in this contract, to improve the rideability and to clean the area up, we had intended to resurface and mill and fill it in concrete and button it up with asphalt to the surface.
I think you only said we could only pick up a foot or so on each side, or is that, I misunderstand that.
Yeah, I'll speak to that here in one of the items coming up.
Okay.
Right? Yeah,
I'll just
right here is for resurfacing.
I'll be quiet then.
Is this just the one lane they're doing down, or are they doing the whole street, all four lanes?
Well, so we have a larger project that we have to circle back to. We'll be curb to curb, but it'll be involved more streetscape, curbing, aprons, street lighting.
Yeah.
It's not this. This is just to clean up the Dominion.
Just that one lane.
Just that one lane.
Yeah.
Yep. But that other project is still on track, and I'll speak to that here shortly.
Yeah, that gas project killed the L.A. Pete's business for about a year.
Right. Yep, tough job. Large pipe that they were working with there. So also in the base bid, we included Commerce Park Oval. Quick resurfacing to get that road through the next couple projects with the bridge and the levee project. Pleasant Valley, a small section at the intersection. Highland Midland area, the entire neighborhood that we've been working with the curb and gutter replacements over the last several years will finally get resurfaced, mill and fill treatment, so that we can back out of there finally and move on. Old Rockside Road also included in the base bid. Valley View, same thing, and we extended some of the limits to pick up some of the areas that we own, pave the parking lot, make it a cleaner project.
Don, when we do a mill and fill, the anticipated lifetime, give me an idea ballpark.
Mr. Chairman, do you mean service life of a?
Yeah, in other words, when you do a mill and fill, you take it down, you scrape it down, you apply two levels of asphalt. Is that anticipated lifetime of that is 20 years, 25 years?
It varies highly on the classification of the road, whether it's a residential, just receiving a small amount of passenger car traffic versus a larger routes, arterials that receive a significant amount of trucks, heavy traffic volumes. So it runs the gamut. Same 3-inch mill and fill in a residential road can last you 15, 18 years, 20 years. By example, out there it's at Selig on Brexville Road. That's only been there since 2011, 10, 11 years, and it's ready to be resurfaced. So,
right. So in, as you said, in a residential area, the life would be a pretty substantial. In other words, when you take the time, money, and effort, and you do a mill and fill, it's not like going out there with, as my dad would describe it, going out with their teaspoon and putting in a little asphalt. It's a pretty comprehensive program. So, you know, when we do that on a street, basically we're investing to be able to get a pretty long life out of it. I know I had some residents that have inquired. They said, you know, you didn't put drainage in this, that, or the other thing in a repair. And the point that we have to make, or that I had to make, was, you know, this is a pretty comprehensive job that's done when they grind it down and they replace the surface. This is not just a teaspoon job. So, thank you.
Yes, it's a definite, it's a major maintenance operation. And one thing, too, to note, you know, depending on the asphalt you use, it also impacts the service life. Lately, we've gone to a polymer modified asphalt. It's a higher grade, higher quality asphalt, more durable. It's a little bit more expensive, but we feel it's a good investment, particularly in light of our pavement preservation that we've been utilizing to maintain good pavements with the Reclamite and with the Mastic surface treatment sealers. So we feel with good material in the beginning, coupled with good maintenance, preventative maintenance activity, we can really stretch the service life much longer.
And that should be the target. Just the idea of the lowest bidder, at least as far as when it comes to supplying asphalt, I'm glad that we're increasing the grade, the level, the quality of that, so that should definitely be helpful. So, good choice.
And Don, some of these projects we're doing, like Highland Midland and Scenic View, that probably in 2-3 years you'll come back with a mastic sealant on that too?
Yes, yeah, we try to, much like we are going to get over to Greenwood, Homoga, Cherry, and Hemlock. Those resurfaced, I think, in 18 or 19, and we're going to get over there now and apply the mastic. So, correct, soon, within 2-3 years, get it sealed back up again and keep them very nice.
On Grandview, that there are some signs up about no parking. Is that going to be crack sealed and mastic? Is that the plan?
Yes, I do believe Grandview was on our list. Yep.
Okay, yeah, because there were signs up for no parking, so that likely happen in the very short term.
Yes, and the residents were receiving door handles. Specialized Construction was handing those out to give them notice, so 24 hours notice. So if they've received the notice, they should probably take it to the very next day.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to see the no parking made permanent there from the first house to the curb, because that's a lot of times when you're turning in there, there's cars coming out and cars parked right by that first house makes it difficult, just like it was here on Wood. It's just an accident waiting to happen there sooner or later.
Maybe we can get a sign, no parking from here to corner for that.
Yeah, from their driveway to the corner would be ideal, because it is a tough when they have a lot of their cars. I know they have a short drive, but at least they can park farther down Grandview.
Right.
Hey, Don, talking about signs, like for dead-end streets or, in Brocksville, I noticed that they got these little yellow signs that they put on the street pole that say no exit or dead-end street. And we're throwing up these huge signs, like I have one on my neighbor's yard. And it's another pole, it's another sign that you got to trim around. They don't trim around it, it looks like crap. So, we could put something on our 4x4 post that just says, no exit or, dead-end street. And it looks a lot neater. And we don't have another pole in somebody's front yard with a big sign on it. And I've seen them around. Brecksville has it. Broadview Heights has it. They're very clean, and there's a little yellow sign.
Yeah, it says no outlet. Yep.
Yeah, it's very clean looking.
Is that something Leon should investigate?
Yeah, I do
think he should, for sure.
Sounds like a plan. Okay, Don, continue.
Okay, moving on. These are the... Just want to touch upon the alternates that were included in the bid. As I mentioned earlier, we had about $300,000 of some flexibility to maybe consider some additional work. Eastview Drive was a carryover from 2019, and I did want to show you, that again, Chagrin Valley Paving's price for the same exact project was an appreciable amount less than Roniak's from a couple years ago. So. Another show you the value of the pricing.
This is all with the polymer.
I do believe so.
Okay, very good.
A couple bids. If you'll notice, they kind of mirror the sidewalk project. So we felt that kind of in our back pocket to have some pricing. The current project with DeJoy Suburban and the one that's going to be awarded, the one that was awarded to Katz. Doesn't have a lot of asphalt paving work, and we felt like if the road got beat up during the pipe installation and all the activity with the concrete sidewalks and aprons, we would have an opportunity with some great prices to get our a second contractor in to clean up behind them. So we took bids. This alternate was for just focusing on half the road on the lane closest to the work. The next one is to do both sides if there was a feeling to clean up the whole area full width. And
so now, Dan, we'll look at it again. I didn't notice anything that would make me curious or felt that there was a problem. I'll look at it again, but I didn't sense it was that bad of shape when I drove it yesterday.
No, agree, Mayor.
It's held up pretty well. It was a conservative approach to have something.
Yeah, I got it. I'm glad you. Yep. That's good thinking. I think we should look at it though.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's in good shape. It held up pretty well. It was last resurfaced in '09, and it's doing pretty well.
And if we do it, we should do the whole thing. The entire width of the road, not just half the road.
Right. I agree.
Yep. Look consistent and uniform.
Yeah.
There is at least one image way back earlier in your presentation when somebody was standing close to the Blue Ribbon driveway and they were showing the sidewalk installation with the concrete truck. You could see the roadway and you could see a lot of evidence of prior crack seal with the black lines running through the asphalt.
Oh yes, yeah, we've been crack sealing that road for some time now. And the edges are always worse than everywhere else. That's where the water would tend to lay. So the drainage project should really help also with the road longevity.
I was impressed with the drainage that you installed. That was really appropriate.
Yeah, I think it turned out nice. It should really get cleaned up with the final grading, lawn planting. So here, you transition to the West Project. Identical situation. We took the approach to just make sure if we needed it, we'd have it. One lane for $70,000. Do both lanes for 122. So there was even in the going from half to full some savings because it wasn't double the price, but because they're already mobilized and some efficiencies, economies of scale there. So it's neat to see in the pricing.
You know, Dan, well, Mr. Chairman, if I may,
yes.
The east of that section, east going to Phillip, I still get calls from people that are concerned about the terrain change, elevation changes, and from a safety perspective, when you get to that undulating area by Phillip, is that on the horizon when we do the water line, or when we do something that we can eliminate some of those humps?
You may remember years ago we did a detailed engineering design to
Yeah, I remember that.
Right. I don't know that we formally bid it, but just the cost estimate was quite high. And
in the intro, we're just going to have radars and our police enforced speed because some people get over the top, and I get the calls about the concerns for safety. So I'll make sure that we follow up on that.
But we would have the opportunity. We have that larger water main project slated with the culvert replacement. And that would be the time if we're going to consider major reprofiling of the roadway to improve the site distances, that would be the project to do it.
Absolutely.
Yep. Although there was one here on South Great Oaks that was problematic. So maybe not so much as the ones further east. This last alternate, you know, Maple Shade Cemetery Roads, I know there's when we're considering future expansion, and those roads were last resurfaced in 08 when I arrived here. They're still doing well, but they might be in need of some treatment. So we put an alternate in, one to do a traditional mill and fill for $80,000. And then the second one was a look to do something a little bit quicker and more efficient, but the end product might look very similar. You can see the price break is quite significant. And they're really a chip seal road with a mastic surface seal treatment on the surface. So a traditional chip seal is limestone on the surface, and it's a very white appearance. But hitting it with a mastic would cover it up and give it some abrasion and would make it look very similar to what an asphalt road resurfacing would look like. And we've never done it. It's, something I thought might be an opportunity to consider as a pilot on a low volume, low traffic, slow speed roadway network in the cemetery.
I think that we're working on some ideas and plans for the future in terms of after we identified several different options for burials. So I think we should blend that into that discussion at some point, if you don't mind.
No, I just wanted to provide some pricing if there was a discount. Yep.
And Don, I noticed that one time you had that road that went by
Le Chaperon Rouge and PNC. I noticed, that, did they do that themselves, then, Le Chaperon Rouge?
They did.
Oh, yeah, because it looks good. If it really needed it, it was, that was a minefield trying to drive through there.
And we patched it and just sent the word out that if they can't do a better job, that we're probably going to do it. And fortunately, they did. They did a beautiful job on it.
They sure did. Yes, Mayor.
Yeah, so we definitely don't have to entertain performing this work at all.
That's good. That's a long time coming.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. This next item, Evergreen Drive, North End. We had some inquiries, some questions that come up, so that made the agenda, and just want to share some information to help understand. So the north end of Evergreen kind of just terminates in a very abrupt location, and that location was consistent with the, where we had terminated the concrete curb and gutters and the new asphalt pavement. If you recall, a year or two ago we were in there, did a major upgrade, and it turned out very nice. And I do believe these roads also are on our Mastic surface seal contract. So that work is coming up quickly. And we wait for the right time to do it until this work at the north end of is performed. But as you can see, this line delineates the right of way is this way, all private property this way. And some plans that are kind of germane to the work that's going on. Back in June, the owner here had been approved for a steep slope setback variance to construct a house addition and a garage, lower level garage. So this map was used for that approval. And what it didn't include was anything to do with the topography. So ultimately, when the construction was performed, there was some immediate recognition of some challenges vertically to make things work. So the owner secured a permit for some drainage work and some regrading. On private property, it's their personal property to make everything work. And some small walls, there was already an existing landscape segmental block wall that was in this configuration, but to make it work for the new drive, and it needed to be pulled back and reconstructed. So this permit was issued earlier this spring to perform both the driveway work and the small landscape walls, and there was also some ancillary piping work for the drainage, for the storms, for the drains, for the wall and the track drain. Here's some photos that kind of help visualize where that is. Here's our pavement and right of way, and there was a very clean saw cut that was made where the new work extends off of, and you can see this area's been really regraded and reshaped to be much more functional and usable.
On the catch basin for the manhole for the sanitary sewer, could you show us on the map where the sanitary sewer goes?
Yeah, so this unfortunately isn't shown here, but our sanitary sewer comes down the road here and then turns and runs through an easement to head and make its way back over to Rexville Road. So the homes back here have a sanitary main that come back up, tie into this drop manhole, and then there's a manhole here and an easement, sewer easement, and it runs through a very tight, narrow area west. So that manhole shows up both on this drawing. That's a manhole right here that's in the easement, probably not graphically in the right location. It's probably actually back here. But you can see it in those here. There's a box out of that very manhole, and it's tight. It's tight up against the house addition.
Who's doing the manhole?
I asked our Cats Construction to adjust the manhole under our maintenance contracts. These are deep sanitary manholes, and it's important that it be done right, and it's on our easements. It's our asset. We will be doing those, Mayor.
So that part is the part that we're responsible for?
Correct, with one caveat. So show you one other photo here. So this header board was put in. This is pretty much on the right-of-way line. Right now, we're setting ourselves up for the city to come in and put some curb and gutter transversely across the road in our right-of-way and some track drains. The major concern is that our road water, as it comes down south to north with the the elevations established here, the concern is that we don't want to be dumping our road water down to potentially flood out the new addition. So while we do have catch basins exist at the end of the road, we felt it was important to still collect anything that water would want to sheet flow and avoid, you know, miss these basins. So we're going to try to intercept that water through curb and gutter across the road here and some track drains that will tie back to the basins on either side. So that's what this header board was set up for. Our contractor does intend to get back in there and finish this off. But again, this work is in our right of way. Everything north of it is part of the permit activity for the homeowner.
Does the homeowner that built the addition on the house with the garage that's down so low, do they bear some responsibility for some of the costs?
I don't feel so. I mean, it's been a concern since I've been here to try to protect our residents, and I mean, you know, put together a small list here of some past projects where we have spent city funds to protect and mitigate drainage either from our right-of-ways or from streams that run through easements. Roboreki, we purchased an entire property and knocked it down. Mr. Dosko on East Spray had that lower level garage that he converted, would routinely get flooded. The homeowner east of that house was extremely concerned where the water would go. So we did both a right-of-way improvement on Sprague as well as a pipe that went back down a side yard in an easement to really protect the properties. And that was with our maintenance contractor at the time, Geotech. On Brookside Road with the major Brookside Bramley project, we did have a number of catch basins and some drainage work that was performed on private property in easements that the residents agreed to give to us to help collect water, because sometimes the topography, the properties, the frontages are lower than the road, so our road water was dumping down, so to speak, onto the new sidewalk, and we felt it was important to install catch basins to mitigate the water, not create problems with our major improvement of the sidewalk. And of course, you're well aware of Valley Woods in the rear yards, of all that money we've spent over the years to mitigate for residents and never having asked any of them for any participation. So we don't feel that this is any different.
And up on Lafayette too, Dad, we went down the backyards of all the neighbors up on the north end up there.
Correct, oh yeah.
There's a water problem forever up there, so the city piped in for them to, if they wanted to drain their backyards into that major drainage.
Yep. So we've been all over, and we routinely get involved to try to protect and not cause problems, solve problems, and certainly not add to them.
Right. Yeah, well, the main thing that I'm just looking at, the main difference is the fact that this was an addition, a change in the situation that then created or magnified any, as you said, maybe potential problem may have existed before. So that was the reason I asked the question. And, you know, on Pleasant Valley, as we did the culvert project and we put an assessment involved in it, at least a portion of this particular issue was caused because where the addition was built on the home. So...
Well, yeah, no question. And to that point, homeowner did include, I think initially, the old setup did have a small circular drain in front of the old garage. Somewhere back in here, attempted to handle the water, but certainly with the new work, the owner did provide a substantial drain and did pay the expense to try to protect himself. With the, with, of course, with all this water now coming down through, the water that physically lands on the driveway will definitely be going down. So he did take some responsibility in trying to protect his own investment there.
Right. Yeah, because you get a heavy rainfall and the distance between the edge of the road and where that garage is and the amount of fall in that area, it's like good luck. That's hopefully they can, it'll manage it, but you know, just curious about what that responsibility for the resident might be.
I can't blame it on the city. That's
well,
if the city didn't do anything, the house all the way to the north would be affected the most because right now it kind of rolls off to the northeast a little bit, but with the new configuration it would go due north right down the long driveway going to that house to the north. So and the city does have some kind of responsibility to help the neighbor to the north out, to be honest.
Sure, but I wasn't, did they have a problem before?
Yeah, not that I'm aware of, but I don't think the setup was quite like it is now.
They had a gravel driveway for the most part in front of the garage door there. Now he's going to concrete it, so.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be a significant improvement down there. Okay, moving on. Further questions. Meadowbrook and T-Ball Drive. These were resurrected slides from way back when we started talking about this. The intent was to do a full depth recycle for both T-Ball Drive and Meadowbrook to package those together. And the initial estimate was just for the recycle work. It was upwards of $200,000, and I do believe in our budget we doubled it because we said there's a lot of things that some ancillary work that would need to be included that wasn't, so we doubled it. So I do believe there's $400,000 total between the two projects. A while back we had had some target ideas of when we thought we would get some work completed and constructed. We did have Chagrin Valley Engineering out there doing some survey work, and they have since submitted those drawings and base maps that will help us in our endeavor to try to put together a package to bid out. We've sort of obviously missed some of these dates, but the project did also include a potential proposed cul-de-sac, which Mr. Hovatter was amenable to in terms of giving us some easements to do that. And as we were out there doing some creek cleaning work and just kind of looking things over, I do believe the question came up as to the condition of the bridge. And in speaking with, I initially reported that the bridge didn't look too bad to me. Underneath, I said that some edges looked pretty bad, but underneath looked not so bad. And I felt that it could just be resurfaced and the roadway and there would be no problems. But in speaking with Mr. Carmichael, he mentioned that that bridge was put in 1970. And it got me thinking that, you know, bridges, 50-year service life is typically what you expect out of a bridge. So we did look at having a structural engineer go out there and look hard at the bridge to make sure and kind of get a professional's review of it. And also, coincidentally, the Regional Sewer District, as they move their way throughout the city, do inspect streams and culverts on the regional network. And this one is on that network. So they did have occasion to review the structure of the stream that runs through it. And they put together a report, as they do, very thorough, and kind of assessed the condition and took some nice photos. And long story short, you know, the bridge is tired and needs some rehab, and it probably would be a very prudent time to kind of look at it and comprehensively when we're going to make an investment and have heavy truck traffic over top of it to construct the road. There was that visible deterioration that you could clearly see. Long and short of it is there was some concerns that were noted, and both by the Regional Sewer District employees as well as our own consultant who did a bridge condition assessment. And these are pre-stressed concrete box beams that normally are very susceptible to salt, and they're in poor condition. They're deteriorated. Their service life has reached the end. Some of the substructure work is it needed some maintenance. It's salvageable, but probably needs to be improved. They did recommend at a minimum to replace the beams, but they also looked comprehensively to give us some cost estimates on some options, and said that just to replace the beams would be the quickest way. $70,000 was a very crude cost construction cost estimate. The other option would be to complete replace the bridge, remove everything that's there, and for $185,000, or to replace it with a box culvert, which are very easy and efficient to install, but there's implications that these numbers don't show you, because you might look and say, well, for another $30,000, we could replace the entire, remove the structure and look at a culvert replacement. But there's impacts to the streams, hydraulic modeling. This is on a flood zone, this stream. So anything you do with the flood, with the stream, becomes cumbersome and regulated. So the takeaway is that this project, where we thought it was going to be a simple couple $100,000 recycle job, I think we have to look at the bigger picture and look at considering the bridge. And knowing that it's, you know, it's a private drive, as we discussed thoroughly previously, I think it's just gotten a little bit more involved, that we just need to discuss it and figure out direction as to how to proceed.
How much is a new bridge again, Dan? Was that $200,000 also, or?
Well, that, yes, right, and that's typically, it's the most expensive, because bridges is expensive to construct. But what's not represented in these numbers, these were purely cost, construction costs. You have to have design work, hydraulic modeling, construction management. These are just construction costs that, and then to consider ripping out that entire structure, how to manage traffic. That's a consideration no matter what happens, to how you're going to get people in and out of their homes while you're doing something. However we figure out who's going to do it and when we're going to do it and how we're going to do it, we got to figure out how to maintain traffic there. So those costs are not included or contemplated here.
That's a private drive. Who owns the bridge then?
It's on a parcel that is owned actually PPN to Carmichael.
Uh-huh.
And I do believe a regional sewer district, they kind of asked when they did the inspection as to who owned it, who the report should get sent to. And while they, I think they CC'd the city engineer's office, it was sent directly to the homeowner. So. Ooh. Any questions on that item?
I got a lot of questions. Well, are we going to talk about that in this meeting, or are we going to discuss this at a later date?
Yeah, it's right now, I think we're just at a decision point to have to determine what to do, how to attack it, if it's going to be an assessment type project now that it's getting to be much more comprehensive. And
yeah, some private properties, I'm thinking some of it should be assessed.
I agree 100%, Dave. I mean.
Yeah, that's not a city street.
One of the projects. Yeah, right. I mean, and when the city wanted to take that street over, Mr. Carmichael was the first one to complain about it. So.
Yeah. That might require a meeting with Mr. Carmichael, maybe the people on that street to come to a reasonable conclusion.
Yeah, you're looking at, what, 3 or 4 or 5 homes down there that the city's going to pay big money for?
Yeah. And we don't even own the street or the bridge.
It's like coming over to Miles and putting a new driveway in for me, because it's failing.
You deserve it, Tom.
Yeah, I know.
And they can bring some concrete over.
Looking at that map, you'd have to ask yourself, do you even assess Carmichael if it goes
assessment because they're east of the creek, so they don't even technically need the bridge.
Yeah, it's the people, yeah, to the west there, those homes at the bottom of the street. They need it.
So it definitely throws a wrinkle, monkey wrench into the schedule and to the limits and the scope of the project. So
I think a meeting with those people on that street would be prudent.
I would agree.
Yeah.
I think when this came up, Mr. Chairman, the lower price tag was appealing, and we thought, well, maybe we can do something and help out a resident, but that's no longer the case.
No, that'd be part of your committee too, Jim, with what we're doing here with the sewer district and everything.
Yeah, but that's what the context we had talked about, was that we wouldn't be doing that. So I agree, Dave.
Yeah. Well, we want to help out, but it's going to be a group.
$200,000's a lot of help.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and they already did work related to the culvert. I know that, I think Don was at the service department that cleared out part of the culvert. And I know that they, did some work related to the creek, the way the creek was depositing and shifting and so on. Didn't they do some things already?
Oh, yes. Yeah, and we've made significant improvements. There had been a lot of sediment buildup over the years. So these photos are nice. They show some pre and post. So it's kind of a unique setup. There's a bridge, and then there's a culvert next to it. And you can see this sediment bar had almost completely choked off all access to the culvert. And the culvert itself was full of sediment. So this is the before and after. So you can see we've really cut this sediment bar back. That was with our creek maintenance contractor to really help open up and make use of the culvert that was there. And then service department also went in and jetted and removed the sediment. It was two-thirds up this culvert, and now is almost been completely cleaned with Leon's crew. So it's really been improved. This is the downstream end. It was a major tree. And here's that same box culvert with all this material. Rendered it non-functional. So now that's also been cleaned up and the tree's been removed. And so the hydraulic capacity has been greatly improved by our creek maintenance contractor. And the Regional Sewer District's report reflects it. They noted that it was, from a hydraulic standpoint, it was received a score of 1, which is excellent condition for stream conveyance. So we did make some improvements there.
Well, here's a question. Is there any thought to segregating the paving the section with the cul-de-sac and then having the people there address the bridge issue? I know we typically try to do, all pieces together, but I wonder about, we initially talked about the paving part. It sounds to me like, the bridge part may be more of those residents to be very involved in any decision.
I think practically it would be an undertaking that most residents, even a group of residents, would be challenged to hire an engineer and get something designed and get permits from the city, from our flood damage reduction ordinance to meet all the requirements there and secure bids and get it constructed.
Well, I'm talking more of the paving and then working with the bridge part subsequently, again with them, potentially having more financial involvement. Just the thought.
Yeah, something to consider.
Is there we have any clue of what the anticipated life might be? Is it potentially good for 10 years or?
Yeah, it's hard to say. We had two. So Regional Sewer District, I think, scored it, gave it a rating of 4 structurally. They have a rating system 1 through 5, with 5 being poor and in need of immediate replacement. So 4 is fair, but so they were a little bit less critical of the condition than our consultant who looked at it and said that that the box, that the pre-stressed beams needed to be replaced, and that the load carrying capacity of those beams was at a point where it needed to be addressed. Neither one gave a, you know, a set time in terms of the life that's left in them.
Okay. So I guess when you talk about load, we're talking mainly about garbage trucks and big snow plows. I mean, that those are the major infrequent vehicles that would be on there.
Right. And any snow plows, if we plow that with the large trucks or the smaller vehicles, does anyone know? Because the bridge being so narrow.
I thought they used the, what are they, 550s?
Luckily, there's not a lot of significant loads going over that bridge, by and large.
Right.
It's lasted the time it's lasted.
Chairman, have we decided what we're going to do as far as the T-ball drive is concerned? No. Are we going to proceed with that?
That makes sense to me.
I had a question on that, if I may.
Sure.
Don and Mayor, is there any reasonable chance that when we're mustering the manpower and equipment over that T-ball drive, that we could work something out with the school system to get the field house parking lot repaved? That is also in terrible shape in that same area. And, you know, it's a highly public place and visitors come here from out of town and come to the field house and it's a return to programming. That parking lot is just in terrible shape. I know it's the school board's responsibility to maintain that, but can't we do something to help? It's a very public asset, and if there's anything we on the city side could do to facilitate the repaving of that fieldhouse parking lot, I really think we should.
Well, we can add that to the list of requests and expectations, and we can explore and then report back to the committee as to our analysis, and then the committee obviously influence how we prioritize and spend our money. So we can look at that, and we will put that together and report it back to the council and committee, and then we can determine how we want to prioritize.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree, Mayor. We should get a price tag on that so we can see how much it'll cost. But I agree with Ken. A lot of events will be happening up there, and we need to have that in top shape, then I'll let it deteriorate further.
We need to put the cost together first.
Yeah, yeah.
With our options, the options of how, to what extent, and then the time frame we expect to be able to have the service and sustainability of it, and then we can present that to council, and then they can we can recommend or make a, they can prioritize how they want to embed that into our replacement program, maintenance program.
Okay, next item on the agenda is Rockside Woods Boulevard North. We just wanted to make mention of some potential opportunities and the need for some consulting work to help us get this partner with the
opportunity. We've talked about the impact the landfill has had on our roadway. That picture out details it. We are exploring the property to the south, as we're aware of, and we're going to be using the same consultants, Don, that helped facilitate getting this thing done with EPA in the past? Is that what we're talking about?
Correct. Correct, Mayor. We had Boning & Associates help secure the landfill permit that allowed us to construct the road and utilities. That permit is still open, and we would like to bring forth a proposal for a contract modification with Boning & Associates to prepare and submit the modification to consider some parking facilities on the landfill in connection with, conjunction with the development project. And we think it makes perfect sense to engage them, continue their scope of work for continuity and because of their relationships with EPA and because of their track record, and so done a good job getting this initial project permitted for us. So we know that there's a special workshop on next week, Tuesday, and we'd like to hopefully have a proposal in your hands to consider authorization of a contract. And included in that will be not just the permitting activity, but some heavy coordination, consulting with the city for us and to help us with, to team up with the developers' engineers to make sure that it gets done right and proper and to meet our expectations.
Don, are we going to be looking into having sidewalks put in on this street then too? Because with everything going on, I think that'll be sick. Because I was there last weekend, there were people just walking in the street, going down from where Kent State comes in there and everything, and walking towards Embassy Suites and the Topgolf. And they, you know, it's kind of rough, you know, with them walking in the street there. You have to be careful that there's no, you know, no impacts on that. But I think we talked about having sidewalks on this boulevard.
Correct, Vice Mayor, and we did secure an alternate bid in the concrete road maintenance contract to get a sidewalk constructed on the west side from Rockside Road to the Embassy, which already has a sidewalk across their frontage, and of course we extended the sidewalk to the Topgolf project, and Topgolf constructed their own across their property. So it's an alternate. I don't believe it was awarded, but we do have the ability to pull the trigger on that if desired.
The goal should be that as they develop east of or north of Embassy, they should include their parking area, and then we should figure out how to transition the rest of it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the Metro Parks is talking about how to tie that area into their corridor along the valley. So there's a lot of opportunities here to look at and embrace and create a safer environment.
So that was the extent of this item. Just want to make you aware of some upcoming proposals and requests for some authorizations.
Our goal, Mr. Chairman and the committee and all members of council, would be to have something on the agenda for next week.
Very good.
And then lastly, Rexville Road, I wanted to kind of bring this project back up to the surface. A project that initially started in 2017 from a planning standpoint, and it entailed kind of a major project with a limit being from Rockside all the way to the Cloverleaf. And as you know, we've sort of piece parted it out in as needed for the Topgolf project. And so we had E.L. Robinson was secured back in 17 for that engineering design work, when they had a specific scope of work and a fee, and things have, you know, changed over time, and they had to kind of shift a lot of gears, and they did a great job with getting what got designed and constructed to in a real good way. They supported QCI and our contractor with some services during construction. So I bring this matter back up because we're ready to start getting back to that project, and there's a need for a contract modification to consider some additional scope work, and because of the changed conditions and timing. And one thing that we'd like to do. It was brought up about the safety on Brexel Road. We'd like to look at squeezing another foot or two of width on that corridor because of the narrow conditions of the roadway. That's going to take some additional work. And we learned a lot on the project that we constructed in terms of all the existing utilities and the challenges with them, and to build a project like we did around utilities. So part of the scope, some additional fee would be to really do a more thorough job with some underground excavating and locating of existing utilities. It's really a necessary item if we want to consider pushing out the roadway and to avoid utility conflicts if we can. So the last slide here kind of just tries to dovetail some of the things we've talked about and encapsulated. So upcoming contract modifications, ACM, we talked about Boning and Associates, so E.L. Robinson, we may have something to consider. I'd like to request a contract modification to E.L. Robinson's contract for the Brexel Road improvements. And then this last one was owner's rep to be determined. So I can speak a little bit with this kind of identical project with the landfill. It's a very potential for a very fast-paced, quickly moving project with a lot of moving parts, and it's going to take a major oversight, somebody who's looking out for the city's interests and managing the process on our behalf. And we feel like an owner's rep is the way to do that. Secure a consulting firm that's going to be hired in that role. So we do going to try to secure a proposal and bring something before you to discuss and consider next Tuesday is our goal.
John, a little more clarification on the owner's rep. The owners you're speaking of are us?
Us.
Yes. Yep, right.
Okay.
Right, the Rule 13 permit and the construction of ultimate construction of any parking lots, those are would be city assets on city-owned property, city project, and highly important to get it done right and to dovetail it in with the development project. So it's going to take somebody whose job it is to oversee that work. We're pulled in many directions here in our duties and responsibilities, and it's this entity would be, their sole focus would be this project and looking out for the city, make sure it's done right, professional, and dots all the I's.
I think we learned from that Hemlock Trail business on a smaller scale, that sometimes, you have so many projects going, it's difficult for our, engineer department to keep an eye on a project like that's being proposed. So it makes sense that we only have one chance to do it right and minimize or eliminate any errors at all. So I think that makes perfect sense.
I mean, you pay a couple percent, but you get the protection and you have someone paying attention to it. And if there's and they make recommendations. And so each of us, both council and administration, we're up to speed Don said, there's too many moving parts to not have someone focusing on this for our benefit, for our protection.
So that concludes everything I wanted to work through on the agenda.
Does anyone else have any other related streets and sidewalks questions that you wanted to inquire about?
So, just if I may, Mr. Chairman,
sure.
We're going to look at the cost of that repair for the salt dome, but I'm also going to ask them to see what it costs for a new dome, a new infrastructure for our block. So, maybe we've had so many years of service out of that, and there's a deteriorating factor, UV, and et cetera. So, we might be, at least we'll explore that. That's one. We're going to patch old Brexville Road and those, and we're going to stripe a new Shaft Road or the Shaft Road upgrade. And Don, that team did a great job, you and your team, putting that together. we'll look at the parking for the shared feed pile. We'll determine the cost with different options. We're going to look at Rockside Woods North and the sidewalks as we connect those different facilities. And we'll continue to look and see how we can blend a strategy together for the various cost components of various projects so that council can give us some direction once we hone that down. Along with all the other things that Dad said we were going to do.
We trust them.
Yes, we do.
He does a great job. All right. Well, seeing that there are no other questions, I would entertain a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, thank you and committee members and all the council for participating in this. We flavored it with a bunch of other things that we're doing that you're aware of. So I appreciate your thoughts. And next week, we should be in a position to advance the ball on some of these things.
And Mayor, I was going to mention at this time, I know we have added a few new key employees that you've added to your staff. We'd like to have an opportunity to maybe meet them, maybe now that we're going to go from virtual to so we know some of the new additions to your staff there.
Yeah, there's a number of things we're working on. It's exciting. It's an exciting time. We have some police and fire, as you're well aware. We try to introduce that those that have retired. Obviously, there's a legal component to try and give them the accolades and the appreciation that they get, and the new people we're bringing on, some of them have experience, and we're excited about that. The chief is excited, but there's going to be a summer of transition and transformation in some of our departments, and the council, you're going to play a role, and you've played a role by giving us allocating funds and ability to do the things we need to do, the things we want to do, and the things that the people expect us to do. So, yes, by all means. And then I would say the next 30 days, if the safety committee, we might be in a position to have advanced some of those initiatives that you approved for us several months ago. And we'd like to give you an update on those. And so I'm hoping the next 30 days we'll be able to have a full agenda for the safety committee.
Are those cameras, they've been installed yet, Mayor? Or?
Yeah, some of them are functioning. I mean, the chief will, as he explained, he'll tell you some of the effectiveness of some of these, where we're no longer having to chase people, run them down. It's amazing how technology can give you a lot more of a full range or full umbrella of ability to knock on people's door and tell them, hey, pay attention. So that's working in the right direction, and we've got a number of these other issues that they rear their ugly head and they try to confuse reality, but we're navigating through them, so there's just a lot of things moving parts right now. The income tax issues on the front burner, and we've had meetings. Our committee's met continuously the last couple of weeks, and we'll continue to do that to, as Jim probably is aware, to deal with the budget. And hopefully the governor, if we can't get the legislature, maybe we get the governor to at least understand what the communities of Cuyahoga County are locking arms around. Whether you're a benefit or a loser, they're locking arms for the most part in terms of trying to starve off some of these confusing positions that the legislators take and without thinking through the impact of COVID and realizing that time was shocking us a year ago, and now to try to do something or undo something that the governor put in place, what they put in place so abruptly, is really it's confusing for me. And I had a chance to tell the mayor's group and the governor's representative that they asked me my position. I said, it's confusing because how you can take positions so quickly. Someone's got a crystal ball in Columbus that I don't have, and I'm confused by it, how they come to their position. But I think Jim knows, has a better handle on some of those things. Why?
Yeah, unfortunately.
I realize that 30% of the residents of the state of Ohio are in townships. 30%.
One of the biggest proponents of this measure, Mayor, lives in a township with 71,000 people.
Yeah.
Right.
The township, Green Township. And, you know, so they suck off of Hamilton County, and they put a couple levies on, and they don't want to levy a tax, but they'll get plenty of tax dollars through the state and local government fund because townships get a disproportionate percentage of that.
Yeah.
Well, they're even talking about... Now there's some confusion as to what the communities are going to get because now they're trying to allocate some for townships. And so this is really, it's an eye-opener, I think, for the larger cities. And in our particular case, we are we are a large city when it comes to the taxation foundation of like, income tax. So but it's amazing how the legislature is I think they're just, they're knee-jerking rather than being good legislators, in my opinion.
Let me say this. We have a motion on the floor for adjournment, and if we have further questions on that related topics, we can do that. So, Debbie, would you ask us, or do we all need to say we're all in favor? And
all in favor?
Aye.
Oh, they said that before we had this discussion.
I agree.
The recording has stopped.
I was thinking it anyways.
Well, and my question is...